Reading is 1 Samuel chapter 18 verses 1 to 16. It's titled Saul's Growing Fear for David of David. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him the high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in this house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with David, but he departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Next it will be 1 Samuel chapter 20, entitled David and Jonathan, and it's verse 42. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is a witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to town. Amen.
These two friends runs through many chapters of the Bible, so we summarise the main bits. Jonathan's dad was the king of Israel, King Saul. He was the first king of Israel, and he'd been chosen to be king by God. But things went very wrong, and Saul turned away from following and obeying God. And so God chose a new king, David. But although David was anointed by the prophet Samuel, no one actually knew that he was God's chosen man to be king after Saul. And actually, it would take a long time, and he would go through a lot of difficulties before he actually took the throne. When David was anointed king, he was a very insignificant figure. He didn't look the least bit like king material. He was the youngest of eight sons, the one who was always ignored and undervalued, the one who was sent out to look after the sheep, to do the degrading and dirty job that nobody else wanted. But in his heart, David loved God. He learned who God was in those long days and nights with only the sheep. He learned that he could trust God. He learned that God would help him and care for him in times of danger. He loved God. And the God who looks at what's inside us, who looks at our hearts, rather than our outward appearance, saw that this young man was a man of God and chose him to be the next king. Well, as we pick up the story, it's moved on from there. The shepherd boy has become a hero. He's defeated the mighty giant Goliath with a sling and a stone, and in doing so has saved the people of Israel from the Philistine army who were attacking them. He's now at the king's court, and he's become very well known, a very popular and much loved person, celebrated and feted as an honored military hero and given a high rank in the army. When the army came back after he'd killed Goliath, people were out in the streets dancing and singing. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. That absolutely enraged Saul. He began to see David as a real threat, and he was afraid of him because he knew that God was with David. We read that in everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. Jealous and furious, Saul decided to kill him. But Saul's son Jonathan saw David differently. Jonathan himself was a popular heroic figure in Israel, and when Jonathan and David met, they instantly became firm friends. The Message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible that we often use, says this: Jonathan was deeply impressed with David. An immediate bond was forged between them. He became totally committed to David. From that point on, he would be David's number one advocate and friend. These two men made what the Bible describes as a covenant of friendship, an unbreakable bond of loyalty. And somehow, Jonathan seemed to know that David was anointed by God to be the next king, because he formalized the covenant by giving David his own royal robe and his armor, his sword, bow, and belt. A dramatic and hugely generous act that you feel signifies the transfer to David of Jonathan's right to claim the throne. So Saul was determined to kill David, and Jonathan, his son, made a covenant of friendship with him. It sounds like a soap opera. As we read through chapters 18 to 20 of 1 Samuel, we find that the episodes of attempted murder mount up. Three times Saul tried to kill David by throwing his javelin at him. Twice he tried to lure him into almost certain death fighting the Philistines by offering his daughters, first Merab and then Michal, as wives. And once he sent in a death squad. David's life was in constant danger because of Saul's jealousy and rages. Jonathan tried to talk his father round from his murderous intentions, but to no avail. Eventually, he realized that his father would not give up, and so he helped David to escape. As I've said, the story of David is a long story in the Bible. And through it all, one of the things that strikes you is how God was with this man, how God's hand was on his life. Through all the dangers he faced, all the difficulties, and there were many, you can trace the the hand of God caring for him and the plan of God for his life being worked out. And I think that Jonathan was part of the provision that God made for David. I wonder if David could have been the man he was without Jonathan and his friendship. He was still young when he killed Goliath, still young when he went to be at Saul's court, and life there must have been extremely hard for him. Saul's moodiness and anger must have been so difficult to cope with, and he never knew when Saul was going to fly into a rage and attack him. He could have given up and gone back to his quiet life looking after the sheep. Or he could have decided to try to get even with this man who had such murderous intention. But he did neither. Jonathan's friendship, Jonathan's self-giving, self-denying love for his friend must have been a huge influence on David's life, maybe even what kept him going through those hard times. Eventually, David fled for his life and for years was pursued by Saul, who continued to be intent on murdering him. And Jonathan remained a steadfast friend, loyal to David throughout it all. When we have a friend who cares for us before themselves, a friend who loves us in a way that puts us and our needs first, it can make a huge impact on our lives. I think Jonathan was that for David. The pastor and writer Eugene Peterson says this: friendship is a much underestimated aspect of spirituality. It's every bit as significant as prayer and fasting. Jonathan's friendship was essential to David's life. It's highly unlikely that David could have persisted in serving Saul without the friendship of Jonathan. Jonathan, in striking contrast to his father, discerned God in David, comprehended the danger and difficulty of his anointing, and made a covenant of friendship with him. Jonathan's friendship entered David's soul in a way that Saul's hatred never did. We all need friends. Some of you are here today because of your friendship with Beth and Rory. Those of us who worship at Chalmers Ardler find in this church family a friendship, an encouragement, and a support that is really special to us. I know that the friendship I have here is a large part of God's provision for my life. God gives us friends. It's part of the way that he cares for us. David needed Jonathan's friendship. But what about Jonathan? Friendship with David complicated his life enormously. He lost his father's approval. At one point, as he was defending David to Saul, Saul totally lost his temper with him and said, "I know you've sided with him. You're a total disgrace." And he willingly sacrificed his own royal future. Jonathan must have expected to be king. As the son of the king, he would surely have been brought up to expect that he would succeed to the throne. But somehow, Jonathan knew that God had chosen David to be the next king. Maybe David told him about the anointing from Samuel, or maybe somehow he just knew, like you sometimes do. And in his friendship with David and his help for David to escape from Saul's murderous intentions, he willingly sacrificed his own future and put his friend and his friend's interests and future first. Jonathan, I think, is one of the great underrated heroes of the Bible. Here was a man who did not seek his own interests, but looked to the interest of another, to the interests of someone who was actually a rival, someone who was going to get what he would have expected would be his. Jonathan could have said to David, "Let's split up the kingdom. You take the north and I'll take the south. My dad's king, so I'll get the bigger bit." That wouldn't actually have been unreasonable. But Jonathan said, "You will be king and I will be second to you." Didn't actually work out that way. By the time many years later, when David became king, Jonathan had been killed in battle. But David never forgot what Jonathan's friendship had meant. And years later, he searched out Jonathan's surviving son, a man called Mephibosheth, and took him into the palace and treated him like one of his own sons. One of the commentators says, "David and Jonathan, despite a father who divided them and the kingdom between them, in a time when life was cheap and betrayals were the norm, remained the most intimate of friends to the end." We live in a very competitive world. So often people are intent on getting on, making the most of themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. But often in doing so, they're happy to tread on other people on their way up. Looking out for someone else before yourself can be challenging sometimes. But that's what God wants us to do. When Jesus was asked one day what was the greatest commandment, he said, "It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." But then he said, "The second most important commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself." In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." If we are made to love God and love one another, then being a friend must be one of the highest priorities of our lives. Jonathan is an example of true friendship. He is an underrated hero, and also, I think, he is a picture for us of Jesus. Jonathan is such a great example of self-giving love. But the supreme act of self-giving love is seen in Jesus. In the letter to the Philippians, we read that although Jesus was God, with all the attributes and status and privileges of God, he selflessly laid aside all his rights as God and made himself nothing by becoming human, born as a baby at Bethlehem. He didn't claim special privileges. He lived a selfless, obedient life, and he died a selfless, obedient death, death on a cross. And he suffered that death for us, so that we who have rejected God and been disobedient to him could find forgiveness for all the wrong things that we've done and all our wrong attitudes and thoughts. And we could come to know God as our Father and Jesus as our friend. Jesus, the Son of God, shows us the true meaning of who God is, that he is the God of self-giving love. We've thought today about friendship. Jesus is the greatest friend we can ever know. The one who is always with us when we turn to him and put our trust in him. The one who will always care for us and love us, strengthen us and bless us. He is the one who can change our lives and give our lives meaning. We need only to reach out and ask him to come into our lives and be our friend. And so as we come today to baptize Muireann, our hope and prayer for her is that she would know friendship and that she would grow to be a good friend to others, but most of all, that she would know Jesus as her greatest friend, the one who will walk with her and care for her all her life. That is our prayer for Muireann and for all of us today. Amen.